My name is James Finlay, and we were having a retreat here together at the parish on St. Teresa of Avila and Thomas Merton and 12-step sobriety. And I've been invited to share the homily here this morning. Pleased to be able to be here with you. Jesus says to the disciples at the Last Supper, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid." I'd like to reflect on this. In faith, we know that what Jesus is saying to the disciples at the Last Supper, Jesus this morning is saying to us. And we know that what he is trying to help them to understand is what he wants us to understand. And what he wants them to experience, he wants us to experience. And what he wants us to understand and to experience is the peace of God. He's trying to help us find our way to the peace of God. To find our way to the peace of God does not mean that we are not sad when sad things happen, but rather that sadness no longer has tyranny over our mind and heart. It doesn't mean we're not afraid when scary things happen, but rather fear does not have tyranny over our mind and heart. And it does not mean that we're not going to die someday, but we die knowing and trusting that when death comes, we will die free of the tyranny of death over our mind and heart. The peace that the world gives is not like this. Because the peace that the world gives is a peace that depends on being able to live in conditions conducive to peace. When we are healthy, when the circumstances surrounding us are secure, when our loved ones are healthy and secure, our children, our brothers and sisters, our spouse, our friends, our neighbors, when the circumstances of our daily life are secure, we know then the peace of living in circumstances conducive to peace. But we don't have control over the circumstances with which we live. And life is such that from time to time, all too often actually, we're faced with disruptive circumstances that we find very upsetting. And when we go through things like that, our peace tends to depend on the outcome of the effort to get through the scary things. So if I've been diagnosed with cancer, my peace is dependent on knowing the diagnosis is not correct, or if it is, the treatment will be successful. If a loved one is critically ill, my peace is dependent on that they'll recover and get better. If I've lost my income and the sources of supporting myself, my peace is dependent that I won't. If one of my children is in the grips of addiction, my peace is knowing that they will not overdose and die. See? My peace is dependent on the outcome of my effort to be returned to the peace that was lost to the circumstances. But we're not always able to restore that peace, because the circumstances can't be corrected all the time. And so Jesus says, the peace I'm trying to help you understand is a peace that's not dependent on the outcome of the circumstance. It's a peace that's with you always, come what may, sustaining you through and through and through and through, unexplainably, always, always. We know this peace is there, because we've experienced it. There's been times in prayer, or there's times in, say, loving union with our family, or there's times in inner spiritual awakenings, or there's times in unexpected blessings. There's times where we taste the peace of God, the peace that surpasses understanding. So we know that it's there. We know that it's there. And we trust that it's always there. Right now, even as we sit here, God is here, all about us and within us, closer to us than we are to ourselves, sustaining us through and through and through and through and through. In all truth, fear has no foundations here. Sorrow has no foundations, because God loves us so and is sustaining us here, just like this. But when we hit troubled times, our heart contracts and we lose our balance, and we lose experiential access to the peace that's always there. There was a woman on the retreat that we were having this weekend, and at the very end of the retreat, her family was here to let her know that her son had been killed earlier that day in a car accident. And they didn't want to tell her until they got there. They didn't want her to face it alone like this. And they asked me to spend a few minutes with them in this little chapel right next door. And they were devastated by it, completely devastated by it. They were crying and so on. So sometimes we're just human beings. We are just human beings. And you can tell when there's people that can feel so lost because the magnitude of the loss, they can't wrap their mind around it. They can't see past it. And it can be so reassuring to know that someone is there to remind us of the presence of God. But we can't feel it because our pain is too intense. But we trust that as time goes on, we can relax into the mystery of what happened. And we can slowly regain our footing again in the deathless love of God that was sustaining us in the loss of this person, the loss of whatever it was. So much of our wisdom, when you really look at your life, so much of our wisdom, things we know today about trust, or we know about compassion or tenderness, has been given to us out of moments of loss and moments of pain. It doesn't mean it was right, it doesn't mean to romanticize it, but truth is, you would not be who you are today had you not gone through that experience. Because through it, you came upon something within yourself. You've tasted it for yourself that sustained you. The Christian mystic Meister Eckhart said, "What is the joy that death does not have the power to destroy, and how can I discover it?" What is it that even when everything is lost, is never lost, and how can I find it? Gabriel Marcel says, "We know we learn to love someone when we've glimpsed in them that was just too beautiful to die. And we know we learn to love ourselves when we've glimpsed the deathless beauty of ourselves in God." So we all know this. Down in our hearts, we all know this. But we're all together in this world that we live in, this precious world, this precious, sometimes brutal, scary, tender, mysterious world here together. And we're here together in prayer to sink the taproot of our heart in the deathless love of God that so unexplainably guides and sustains us and watches over us. It's a tender love that protects us from nothing, even as it sustains us unexplainably in all things. Elizabeth Kubler-Ross talked about the stages of dying. And she talks about people coming to acceptance. And she says, people who come to acceptance, she said, they're not happy. She said, they don't look up from their deathbed and say, wow, this death is really, don't know when I've had more fun, really. She said, they're beyond the dualism of happiness and sadness. She said, they've already crossed over, but they're still here. And like a transparent child, they radiate the peace of God in your life. You almost feel you want to kneel down, or you can tell you're in the presence of something that matters very, very, very much. See? And we hope that we don't wait till the 11th hour to find it. And so we pray that we might know the peace of God in our heart, not just from time to time, but we might learn to be more habitually grounded in it day by day. See? How so? So that when you see somebody who's hurting, and you can tell they've momentarily lost their way through loss or shame or whatever it is, see, you can be the person who stops to ask, "Are you okay?" And you might be a lifeline to help them find their way back to themselves like this. And this is how we help each other out, experiencing and bearing witness to God's peace in our lives.